And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A synthetic opioid called fentanyl is behind an extreme surge of drug overdoses in Alaska. And as Claire Strumpel reports for KTOO, overdoses in the state have become so deadly that one of the tools used to fight them has changed.
Naloxone is an overdose-reversing drug that's found in opioid emergency kits distributed by the state.
This is the box that will save lives, yeah.
Luke Roman is unpacking a battered cardboard box filled with the new kits at the Glory Hall, Juneau's homeless shelter. And for the last several weeks, they've been short on what people casually call Narcan kits. Narcan's the brand of naloxone.
All right, here they are.
But this is a new brand of naloxone called Kluxado.
Yeah, opioid, yeah. And I think this is the higher milligram, right?
It has twice as much naloxone in each dose.
It's 8 milligrams, yeah. Is that double? Yeah. Dang, yeah. So here it is. It comes with two, so like four of the old ones, which is good because it is taking like more than one for people, you know?
If you haven't seen naloxone before, it looks kind of like that allergy spray that goes up your nose. Except instead of reducing sinus inflammation, this blocks or reverses the effects of opioids. Roman says now that fentanyl is in most of the drugs around here, it takes a lot more to bring people back from an overdose. And they're seeing the effects at the shelter.
Personal on-the-ground experience here. Let's say I've worked at the Glory Hall for 2.5 years. And in the last year, I've seen 300% more overdoses. Yeah. None of them deadly, thank God. But yeah, just a lot more overdoses.
Fentanyl is more deadly than heroin because it's a lot stronger and in really tiny doses. It exists because there are medical applications for fentanyl, where those tiny doses are closely monitored. But it's really dangerous on the street, where there's no oversight. Getting that increased dosage of naloxone is part of why these emergency kits were so scarce for a while, and not just in Juneau, but across the state. Carol Fink oversees the state's supply of free naloxone through a program called Project Hope.
Probably about mid-February, we were being cautious with the amount of naloxone we sent out to our partners. And we ran out probably in early March.
She said finding a higher dosage of naloxone meant the state had to renegotiate with vendors, and that took time.
We also didn't realize how quickly we were going to run out because there was a surge of opioid deaths in the Mat-Su area, and that really brought attention to the issue.
That meant there was an increase in demand for the kits. But Fink says the new shipment of naloxone arrived earlier this month, and the program packed up thousands of new kits to distribute across the state. They're needed. Nearly 300 Alaskans died of an opioid overdose last year, and most of those deaths involved fentanyl.
From a public health perspective, this is unprecedented, and the state of Alaska and the health officials, we are very concerned.
It's not slowing down either. The state's drug task force seized twice as many grams of fentanyl in the first 3 months of this year than it did in all of 2021. And to be clear, the shortage was just of that free naloxone through Project Hope. People could still get the drug with a prescription. Dolores Van Borgendien works at an addiction treatment clinic in Juneau. She traces the explosion of fentanyl in Alaska back to about a year ago. Over the course of 2 weeks last April, the number of her patients with fentanyl in their urine went from 2% to nearly 14%. She says now it's more than half.
What we're seeing on the street, what we're seeing in our toxicology, what we're hearing from our patients, okay, preempts anything that comes out kind of publicly, you know?
She says naloxone and efforts like recent drug busts across the state help slow deaths down, but the pace is relentless.
You just feel every single day. I think everybody's who's involved in this, you just feel as if you're paddling upstream. You're not making any headway.
Naloxone is only a short-term fix to the most acute symptom of addiction. It gives people like Van Borgendien time to connect people who use drugs to the other resources they need for long-term recovery, things like treatment, housing, and access to mental health care. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strumpel.
A group of Unalaskans marched in support of women's abortion rights on Sunday. It was in reaction to the recently leaked draft opinion from the Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito that indicates Roe v. Wade is on the brink of being repealed. KUCB's Theo Greenlee was at the march, and he has this report.
Sunday afternoon, and the sun in Unalaska is shining brightly in the blue sky, a rare sight on the island. Around a dozen people have gathered downtown at Chief Alexei Courthouse to march in support of abortion rights. They say the recently leaked opinion from the Supreme Court shows that Roe v. Wade, the 1973 case that established federal protection of abortion rights, is in danger of being overturned.
Obviously, it's Sunday, it's Mother's Day. What better day to come out and support mothers who choose to become mothers, women who do not choose motherhood, all different kinds of families. Like, we're just out here for everybody's rights.
Megan Faniff organized the march. She says she organized the protest as a way to defend a woman's right to make decisions about her body. She says she wasn't surprised by the leaked opinion, but still deeply upset by it.
I am not angry. I'm livid, and I will continue to be livid until the federal government makes abortion into the law, and that cannot be changed.
Unalaska resident Tammy Fowler Pound shares Faniff's anger. Pound says a woman's choice to have an abortion is a private health care issue.
I mean, I don't know what there is to say about what's going on other than I'm raging about it, and I'm concerned about young women across this nation being put in situations that are going to be difficult for them, regardless of why they might need or want an abortion. It doesn't matter.
Many of the marchers held signs with slogans like "Keep abortion safe, legal, and accessible," and "Women's rights are human rights."
And can you tell me you're holding a sign here? What does it say?
My sign here says "Fishermen for Women's Rights." So I think it's important for the fishermen community to voice what they think is right and wrong.
It says, "Choose your own rights. No one can take them away from you."
Yeah, I got a sign here that says "Not Going Back," and has an image of a coat hanger on there. And I think it really depicts where we would go if all this did go through and they took that right away from people to choose. I think abortion, back alley abortions, would still be happening all over the place, and that's definitely not a good thing.
The march was peaceful as the participants made the mile-long walk to City Hall, and they didn't encounter any counter-protests. Abortion is legally protected by the state constitution in Alaska, but some anti-abortion advocates see the prospect of an overturned Roe as their chance to impose limits. Governor Mike Dunleavy opposes Roe v. Wade and proclaimed Right to Life Day in Alaska in 2021. Some conservative advocates and politicians are urging Alaskans to vote for a constitutional convention in November, in part to limit abortion in the state. Faniff says she organized the march in part to discourage the government from taking anti-abortion stances.
We are out here to be loud, to be proud, and to tell our lawmakers that we are not going to be quiet. And basically, thank God for abortion, a woman.
The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to release its final opinion on the case that could overturn Roe v. Wade sometime before June. In Unalaska, I'm Theo Greenlee.
A group of law professors is critical of the Ninth Circuit for a March split ruling that cleared the way for a land swap to create a life-saving road through a national wildlife refuge in Alaska. KNBA's Tripp Krause has more on the legal battle over the swap.
In March, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 in favor of allowing a road between King Cove and Cold Bay. If approved, the road would cut across the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge on the Alaska Peninsula. But a group of 25 law professors joined environmental advocates and filed an amicus brief in a lawsuit opposing the road. During the Trump administration, Interior Secretaries reversed a 2013 agency decision from the Obama administration to deny the road. The brief outlines policy and regulatory concerns about that reversal. The law professors say that the Trump administration secretaries did little to prove a need for the road to reverse previous agency policies. They also say the swap violates environmental laws and the Alaska National Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA. The professors, who represent institutions from across the lower 48, seek an en banc or full court ruling on the decision to allow the land exchange. Environmental advocates say that a ruling in favor of the road would create a cascade of regulation issues on so-called national public lands. In Anchorage, I'm Tripp J. Krause.
It's currently 44 degrees with sporadic showers at Juneau International Airport. Low tonight of 38 with 10-mile-an-hour winds. Tomorrow is expected to be dry and cloudy with fog in the morning and again at night. High of 52 tomorrow. This is KTOO.